Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
So how about it, America? Are you done with the shopping? Are you through? Are you finished? A couple of clicks here and a couple of clicks there, as somebody said to me today. Why in the modern world would you ever brave shopping in a store? That was how the conversation went. And here we are, just a couple of days before a celebration for many of us of Christmas, where hopefully you'll gather with family and friends and have a chance to celebrate and look back on the year. And that's what we're doing throughout parts of this week and into next week too as well. One of the fun things we got to do this time around, I think, was having a conversation with Harry Shearer, who is a voice of many of the characters on The Simpsons. The Simpsons just had a huge anniversary where they showed over the summer, starting in August, every single episode of the symptoms of The Simpsons. And it scans back for such a long period of time. It's interesting to look at that project and through his eyes, too, where it's a voiceover gig and he's this trained actor and voiceover guy as well, never imagining when he walked into the studio to do a few fun voices that it would turn into such a cult phenomenon and beyond a cult phenomenon. I mean, part of the culture, it's spanning a couple of generations and a couple of decades, and who knows where it all ends up. And it was such a delight to get a chance to talk to Harry Shearer, who also played Nixon in a little piece that he did and really nailed the part. It's tough to play presidents, and we know actors have over the years have done that. I mean, how many people have played one of the Kennedys or JFK or played Lyndon Johnson or perhaps Truman, but he really nailed Nixon. He said he didn't even look at the Frank Langelica project. He didn't want to be influenced by anybody else who had done anything with Nixon. So that conversation, one of, I think, the highlights on the fun side of the year, coming up in our next segment, Harry Shearer. And also this hour, we'll take a look at marijuana, medical marijuana, taxing it, the legalization of it. We talk with a guy who's actually makes a living off of marijuana and his thoughts on the legalization. You know, the argument over legalization, if you wound the clock back maybe 10 years, you would still find, yeah, this medical thing is starting to take hold a little bit, and there's more conversation about it. But, oh, legalization of marijuana, we'll never see that. He thinks it's just around the corner, that this day is inevitable, that we will see the legalization of marijuana, and this conversation will be done, because part of it is, let's face it, taxation and the idea that there would be more revenue coming in federally. Imagine if they were able to tax marijuana just like they have been able to do it at a very high rate in Colorado or Washington. But it's such a cash business, which creates a huge vacuum there, and the banks aren't dealing with it. So I think there's still a little bit of a long road ahead. I don't know that I would say 100% across the board we'll see legalization. I'm not so certain about that. In New York and outside of the Big Apple, there's lots of conversation about the two police officers who were gunned down, and are there more officers at risk? This guy was by himself, but are there others that want to take that power into their own hands and go after innocents like we saw in New York? Of course, the police department is mourning the two officers. The mayor of New York, Bill de Blasio, is pleading, actually, with people on the tube to not protest and doesn't want to see the rift between the mayor's office and the police department grow even more, and he feels as though there is a climate of mistrust that contributed to the execution of the two officers. And boy, if that's the case, you look at the police force and the size of it in New York City, and there has to be some concerns. Now, Congressman Pete King says the mayor of New York is lousy with all this. He says he threw gasoline on the fire and that this is part of the problem. If that hadn't happened, we wouldn't be talking about this problem now and what to do with it. So maybe Pete King, and you think he's right on this, is his opinion right, that as he's saying, it's terrible the way the mayor sides with the protesters and goes out of his way to disparage police officers. It's a terrible situation. He said it's almost a logical result of these 4 or 5 months of rhetoric that this is what happens. And he said he didn't believe de Blasio wanted the police officers murdered, but said that his words came from an ideology that almost compels him to be against the police. That's interesting. Do you think that's true? Is this what's happened here? And do you lay the blame on some of the conversation that's taken place? I would have to say it doesn't help, but I wouldn't pin it on the mayor and say, well, the mayor encouraging protests. I don't think so. And the two New York City cops being shot in the car and then the suspect killing himself as well. Unfortunately, to me, once you do the heinous act and then you take yourself out of the picture, you leave those question marks swirling, and if you're an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth person, certainly you're not going to get that as a result of the guy offing himself, and no chance of having that conversation, no chance of pursuing some legal action, criminal action against somebody who cold-bloodedly assumed the position and just shot into the car and killed those two police officers who had no idea what was coming. And I think in all of this conversation and angry back and forth, that's something that shouldn't be lost, that these were two men with families who didn't come back and instead are being buried on a week when you're supposed to be celebrating family and friends and life and Christmas and rebirth and whatever it symbolizes to you. And that's awful for those families for sure. By the way, there's been a price tag finally put out there from the Pentagon on the ISIS fight. It surpassed $1 billion. Do you know the military so far has spent $1 billion fighting the Islamic State? You know, we were told to brace ourselves for what could be a long time going down the road with this coalition. And sure enough, it's looking to be that way. The $1 billion with all the airstrikes, the average daily cost is $8.1 million. So that figure makes sense to me. It was reported that U.S. ground troops were fighting ISIS forces in western Iraq over the weekend, but that was just reported. It couldn't be confirmed. U.S. troops are in Iraq now, number over 1,700, but that's a number that's going to increase over the next couple of weeks. It was announced, as you remember, another 1,500 are going to be deployed. Boy, oh boy, where does this all end up? Stay with us. Harry Shearer coming up next on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment periodic basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it, so decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts, fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. That's AncientDefense.com.
You certainly know him as Mr. Burns, Smithers, Ned Flanders, and of course a stable of other characters. Simpsons, baby, you know, just picked up an Emmy this year. There's no doubt Harry Shearer, who now is going to embody and has done that, put this together. Nixon's the one that you can catch on my damn channel, man. Unbelievable stuff. Harry, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So first of all, I mentioned the Emmy. Was it great to get a chunk of that hardware after all that all those years with The Simpsons?
Well, I haven't actually received the hardware yet. I've received a notice that it's coming, so I haven't yet put my hands on the lady with the thing. But you know, after 26 years of doing the job, maybe you get good at it.
Yeah, maybe, huh?
Maybe,
what did you think of that Simpsons marathon? Man, that was pumped up everywhere. A lot of people were watching it.
I know. You know, I'm always amazed by the degree to which this show continues to motivate fanship and viewership. It's just, you know, I think I'm not the only one who's amazed by it or delighted by it. It's remarkable. I don't think we've seen anything like it in the history of television.
Yeah, when you first, you know, you said 26 years ago, when you first embarked on that and you did your first character, did you ever have any idea that this would just keep going on and on the way it has?
Well, let's face facts. When we started, we were on the Fox network, which at the time was on UHF stations. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
And you had to use a coat hanger as an antenna because your regular TV antenna couldn't pick it up. So forget about The Simpsons. We didn't think the network was going to stick around. You know, it was probably us and NFL football that put the network firmly on the lower channels. So no, nobody expects this kind of success. If they do, they're dreaming, literally.
Yeah. Yeah, when you started doing the voices, it's tough because you do so many, but is there one that's your favorite? Do you just love doing?
Steve Montgomery Burns.
Oh, yeah.
You just have to love a guy who's pure evil and doesn't bother to hide it, you know? because some of these, so many of the really evil people just try to hide, are too good at hiding it. We find out too late, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. And so you understand all about the voices, obviously, with your background. And do you think there's something about, because you do things in front of the camera and, and have done film and everything else, but is there something about strengthening that, you know, the vocal cord and doing the voiceover stuff?
Well, I mean, my wife is a singer, and her dad was an opera singer, and she taught me his vocal exercises that he would do every morning. So, knock on wood, since I started doing that, you know, my voice has felt pretty much invulnerable. And then I did a play in London for almost the last 2 years, parts of the last 2 years, which is a very different way of using your voice. And much as with singing, I would wake up, I would sort of apprehensive going into it, and I found I would wake up every morning the same way I would on a, when I was doing a singing tour, and I just couldn't believe how strong my voice felt. So, you know, using it in the right way, it's like, I guess, any other muscle. Using it in the right way makes it stronger.
Yeah. So Nixon's the One really premiering on October 21st. You sat down with the historian Stanley Cutler, and you had to comb through thousands of hours, basically, right, of the audio tapes. What was that like?
Well, Stanley had been the sort of the primary historian of the tapes. He was the guy who filed the lawsuit to make the tapes public in the first place, because they were made on government tape machines with government tape. So I think we'd paid for them. And we knew a lot of this material, but for me it was an arduous kind of fun. They're not easy to listen to. They were very badly recorded, so you have to listen very carefully to pick up what's being said. But they're amazing. You know, what we were looking at was not the stuff that's been gone over about Watergate or Vietnam or something, but we both knew that there were these amazingly funny, strange, creepy, spooky, bizarre conversations that went on in that, and that are on tape. And so my idea was, let's make a show, sort of a comedy show, about those conversations, using those conversations word for word, shooting it as if Nixon had hidden cameras in the White House as well as microphones. And it was on the air in England earlier this year and got really nice reviews, I'm happy to say. And for the United States, we're putting it on actually on YouTube. The My Damn Channel section is feeding it to YouTube. So it'll be on YouTube. All you have to do is go to YouTube starting Tuesday and see the first episode, and then every week we'll roll out another episode. Each one sort of focusing after the first, which is sort of the introductory episode, each one after that focuses on a different theme that would obsess Nixon, because he was obsessed with a lot of different things. And it's funny, and it's strange, and it's spooky, and it's weird, and it's all sorts of things. But it was huge fun to play him. 4 hours a day of makeup, so I know how certain grand dames in show business must feel. But it was an amazing experience.
Did you go back and look at Frank Langelico or anyone else's portrayal of Nixon?
No, I was paying attention to Nixon, not to anybody else's idea of Nixon. Because I'd watched him and listened to him, and I'd done him in a comedy group when he was president. I had my own idea of who he was and how he sounded and how he looked. So I was really depending on my own sense of who this guy was, my own powers of observation. I wasn't interested in anybody else's observation of him. In fact, there were things that I noticed about Nixon physically in his behavior that I thought nobody else had ever captured. He was a guy who used to talk a lot about strength and the manly virtues, and we don't want to be soft. And then you see him in action, and a lot of his gestures are very almost delicate and kind of fluttery. I mean, when he, even at the end, when he's like standing in the helicopter about to leave Washington for the last time because he's resigned the presidency, he gives a salute, and it's not a crisp military salute. It starts at his forehead, and then it's like a butterfly is like going taken over his hand and fluttered off to find a mate. He would flutter his eyelashes a lot. There were all these gestures that were telling me something else is going on here that I'd never seen in anybody else's portrayal of him. So I was determined to get that side of his physicality into the show. So no, I was focusing on what I had observed.
Yeah, and you said you got great reviews, nice reviews.
Yeah.
In England, when the work comes out and then you go back and you look at, well, what we'll just call the dailies for now, is it wild to look back at that after all that prep?
What do you mean, to look at the reviews?
Yeah.
You know, reviews are nice. They're basically nice because they help you get attention for the show and help, for example, when you're coming, the show played in England first and now we're coming to the United States, it's nice to be able to say, well, look at what the Times of London said. You know, I don't have to pat myself on the back. Somebody else does the work for me. that's really the value of them, is that to say to people, okay, don't believe me. Believe these people. They watch a lot of TV. It's much nicer, of course, in that basic human way than if they say, this sucks, we hate this, don't ever do this again. That's just sort of primal, you know?
But everybody says, Harry, they don't read the reviews, right?
I don't read them. I hear about them. But, I mean, you know, you have people who read them and tell you, oh, no, they were good. But, you know, on a very primal basis, everybody in show business is desperate to say the Sally Field, famous Sally Field line from the Oscars. You like me. You really like me.
Well, did you know when you were a kid that you had this gift that you were funny?
Yeah, I worked in show business when I was a kid, and mainly in comedy shows. So I knew I could get work doing it. that much I knew. I worked for 8 years until my voice changed.
Yeah. Then when you went through the voice change and you thought, well, I just have to ride this out and I can go in a different direction maybe.
Yeah. I really thought I was going to, you know, nice, thank you for that, but I'm going to be a serious grown-up. And then I tried it and I thought, anything but that.
Anything but that, huh? So you're getting the Ernie Kovacs Award.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I read somewhere where you used to watch his NBC show, so that's kind of cool.
I watched his, I stayed home from school to watch his NBC daytime show, and then I was a huge fan of his ABC primetime shows. People who haven't seen him, there was a multi-disc DVD collection that came out 2 or 3 years ago. I was at the event in Hollywood to celebrate that. It's really worth watching. It's not what anybody, I think, might expect from that era of television. You have to put this in capital letters and big bold lettering. He was so far ahead of his time. You look at some of his stuff is like, you can see, well, this is where Letterman got his inspiration. The morning show is just a very loose half hour of screwing around in a television studio in front of an audience. But the later stuff, the ABC stuff, was really video art. He was just playing with television itself, and these are very carefully crafted little gems, many of them silent, but all of them really forcing, all of them really doing something that nobody does nearly enough of nowadays, which is remembering that television is a visual medium, and it's not just pictures of people talking. he was really incredibly gifted and really, really funny.
Yeah, well, congratulations on that, and certainly congratulations on the Nixon piece. I know a lot of people are going to be looking for that. Nixon's the one. You too. You heard Harry say it. Harry, thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at LegalShield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, LegalShield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, LegalShield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective, and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com. And be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Stopping weekend count from the Vatican. Pope Francis, people think he's the cool pope, or at least some people do. He's taken a swack at reform since becoming the pope, and here's your number, March of 2013. And boy, did he get tough during this holiday season. He unleashed a critique of the Vatican bureaucracy. He criticized what he called its illness, ranging from the disease of feeling immortal to excessive planning. In his Christmas address at the Vatican on Monday, he warned that a church doesn't try to improve. If they don't, it's like a sick body. He said he suggested it would be helpful to the Vatican bureaucrats to have a catalog of their illnesses, beginning with this disease of feeling immortal, or indispensable. He said the pathology of power could lead to people believing they're superior to others and not here for the service to others. He warned against the disease of the loss of compassion, which he said afflicted those who have a heart of stone. Wow. Wonder if he was looking around the room at a few people. He referred to the disease of excessive planning and functionalism and bad coordination. He said it happens when members don't collaborate with each other. He said there was also the risk of succumbing to spiritual Alzheimer's disease and forgetting the story of salvation, warning that sufferers lost memory of their encounter with God. He described the diseases of rivalry and rebuke those who try to court their superiors inspired by their own egotism. Wow. Boy, he scores a lot of points when he rocks the Catholic Church, I think. And he probably scored some points with a few people there. Not scoring many points, although he did get reelected. Congressman Michael Grimm, a former guest on this show a couple of times, Republican from New York, pled guilty or will plead guilty to one charge of felony tax evasion later on during the day. The charge is in connection with a bigger fraud, bigger allegations over the management of a restaurant he owned before taking office. He was indicted on 20 charges in August. Investigators say that he had hidden about $1 million in wages and sales at the restaurant. Oh, my, oh, my. Pleading guilty in Brooklyn on Tuesday afternoon. This is a guy who easily won re-election in November despite limited support from the Republican Party. He also drew a lot of national attention when he threatened to throw a reporter off a balcony at one point inside the Capitol after the reporter asked about the fraud allegations. So how about that? Temper, temper. He was a very popular politician despite everything that's happened here, but the wages and hiding the $1 million is obviously a no-no. Doubt he'll keep his office on the Hill. How about this story when we talk about numbers? Sadly, this is a crazy story about a, and we've seen a few of these actually, to be honest, in the last couple of weeks. We've seen a couple of similar stories. The thing that's changed here is just what it was that hit the pedestrians. But six people have died after a garbage truck collided with some people in the center of the very famous Scottish city of Glasgow. The Scottish police say that it appeared as though what they call the bin lorry had hit one person before going up onto a sidewalk and colliding with a number of other unsuspecting people. The truck crashed at the Millennium Hotel Glasgow at George Square, which is a popular tourist place, and it doesn't look like it's criminal or deliberate, just very, very tragic. And as I said, I've read a couple of similar stories to this in different parts of the world. Of course, it figures, you know, you have streets, you have people on streets, and you have trucks or other kind of vehicles, and then something happens and somebody smashes into people, but it's always unsuspected, especially, I guess, with the when somebody's walking along and they're on the curb, they're certainly not thinking that a truck is going to jump up and slam into them. And you know, this was an afternoon day, 2:30 in the afternoon, and police were telling people to avoid the area because it was so involved in trying to notify the families, clean up what had happened there, piece it all together, and all of that. All right, here's a big number for you. Federal land and a settlement. A federal land swap at 1.6 billion tons. The Arizona copper mine is now within reach. This was a deal that was approved last week by the Prez. It clears the way for work to be completed on a mine that geologists say could supply America with one quarter of all its required copper for the next 40 years. Wow, that's incredible. That is a huge number. And think of copper. They call it America's deepest shaft, and that number is huge. Remember, there was such a copper shortage that people were taking copper out of homes. You know, especially if there was a new building or somebody had left a home, they were looking for copper. I know a couple of people that had that happen to them were copper thieves, where they were, were looking for copper and they found it in these developments. In fact, we had a guest on one time whose son was out at his development, didn't realize somebody was there for the copper and had shot him and was going to go on trial for that and narrowly escaped that fate of being criminally charged. It's been about 70 years since U.S. Army Sergeant Benjamin Jones, they say, stormed a German-occupied town, sprinting and shouting as fast as he could. About 50 family members, check this out, and close friends joined as Jones was presented the Bronze Star Medal, the European African Middle Eastern Campaign Medal, and the Army of Occupation Medal at a family home in Smyrna. It was on Sunday. His bravery was honored as the medals he earned were finally pinned to his chest. 95 years old. And how cool is that? He said, hooray for the Army, hooray for the United States, hooray for the Veterans Administration. And he said, it's one of the best things that has ever happened to me. Here's a guy who was born in 1919, and he went to school through the eighth grade before working for the railroad as a painter. He moved to Wilmington, Delaware in the 40s, right before he was drafted, and then went off to serve. And I love it. I love it that he, and he recalled all these details as to what happened. And he said, you know, he remembers the one raid that earned him the medals. It was an attack that he led with about 30 or 35 men against 100 German soldiers. He said, we killed 15, captured 84, and about 30 to 40 of them got away. He said he shot so fast and so many shots, his rifle jammed. And with everything raging around him, he said his life depended on a German Luger pistol he had confiscated from a captured German officer. How about that? And he had such vivid descriptions of what it was like to serve, and I love it that he finally got all those medals. 70 years he waited, but he was recognized, so I think that's a really, really good thing. Joe Cocker, you remember him, the singer who spanned the generations from Woodstock on forward. If you ever watched The Wonder Years, then you heard certainly some of his music. His music was the intro song to that very popular series from the 80s, and he was a rock and blues kind of guy, Joe Cocker, and he died of lung cancer, 70 years old. He had 40 albums over a 50-year career, I mean a superstar in England. He had his first hit in 1968 with the Beatles tune With a Little Help from My Friends. That was huge for him. He then took that to Woodstock in 69, and it became the theme song for, as I mentioned, the family sitcom The Wonder Years. And so a lot of people reacting to Joe Cocker, including former Beatle Ringo Starr, who hit up the social media right away, that's where you look for comments, and talked about the news of Cocker's death, and he said goodbye and God bless Joe Cocker from one of his friends, peace and love, R. And he definitely had an impact on the music world, for sure. He got an Order of the British Empire in 2011 for his contribution to music. They say there's going to be a private memorial service for the rock legend. He's survived by a wife, his brother, his stepdaughter, and his two grandchildren. And again, Joe Cocker, dead at the age of 70 of lung cancer. He had a little bit of a battle with lung cancer and in the end succumbed to it. So it's about the numbers, and that's it for We Can Count. Coming up on America Tonight, marijuana and where we're headed as a country with marijuana, legalization, ? And what's now, the government is now getting ready to do, or the IRS, getting ready to tax a pretty big parcel of marijuana, and, you know, is this the foreshadowing of things to come here in these United States. Hang with us.
time waits for no one. That's why you should hurry to not miss the Freeze Dry Guy's end-of-year case lot sale. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663 to receive 20 to 25% off Mountain House freeze-dried foods. Mountain House, the gold standard in long-term storage products, include real freeze-dried meats, entrees, eggs, fruits, and vegetables. Yes, 20 to 25% off now. Also receive 30% off other selected Mountain House foods and receive 30% off selected Packaway brand dehydrated foods. Just call 866-404-3663 and ask for the Freeze Dry Guy. Plus, long-range patrol ration eggs and ham at superb discounts. But these are extremely hard to find and nearly gone, so call today. Ask about our LRP ice cream bars, too. Some items limited to stock on hand. And remember, the Freeze Dry Guy pays for shipping to your door within the lower 48 states. Order now. Don't miss out on the Freeze Dry Guy's end-of-year case lot sale. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95. On sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Yes, family and friends are gathering to give gifts and wish health and security. But why not enhance cell phone and wireless device security all year with Block It Pocket, a family-owned American business? We now have two spectacular holiday specials. Find them now at our new website, blockitpocket.com, or call 888-315-9618. Hurry, holiday special ends Christmas Day. Give the gift of security from blockitpocket.com, wishing you health, freedom, and liberty.
We love that you're passionate about GCN. And whether you're a listener, a business owner, or a radio industry professional, we've redesigned the new GCN newsletter to keep you in the know. Get updates on your favorite GCN shows and hosts. Go to GCNlive.com and click on the banner in the upper left corner. Just for signing up, you're automatically entered for monthly giveaways. Start receiving your newsletter today. The future of talk radio. GCN.
Welcome back to America Tonight. In our virtual green room, Michael Strawmeatis is with us, and he got up very, very early because he's in a very cool place, and we're going to talk about something that we've talked about a lot here on America Tonight. First of all, Michael, thanks so much for coming on with us, but where are you right now, and what time is it?
Well, actually, funny enough, 4:20 in the morning in Sofia, Bulgaria. I'm in my European office.
I love that. Bulgaria. What's Bulgaria like? What's the weather there like?
Well, whether it's around 32 degrees here. We're hoping for a white Christmas. It's usually pretty mild winters we have, but it's very nice and beautiful here. I'm right by the Tusha Mountain. It's a great view.
I love it, the way you describe it. That's one place I haven't been. It's on my list for sure. So we had you on the show because President Obama signed this massive $1.1 trillion omnibus spending bill last week with some interesting provisions for medical marijuana advocates. Now, the spending bill had its other controversies, too, but it funds the government through September of 2015 and includes a rider to defund the Department of Justice's war on medical pot. So I know you're the founder of Advanced Nutrients and you're in favor of it. Explain why you're in favor of what's happening here with medical marijuana.
Well, in medical marijuana, it's, look, I'm not actually in favor of the Hinchey-Rohrabacher amendment. It's dicey ground. It's very shaky. And there's a lot of reasons why. I do think it's a nice little baby step forward, but it has some of its difficulties. Let me explain. For one, it doesn't remove marijuana as a Schedule I drug. And most people probably don't realize, but Schedule I drug is in the same category as heroin. And that Schedule I also says it has no medical value or a high potential of abuse. Number two, we need to change the federal taxation laws and the federal banking laws. If we don't do that, technically, it's not a first step for, as what people are saying. I mean, people are saying, hey, marijuana is legal now. It's not. In fact, there's another side of the argument, and they are concerned that in regards to medical marijuana dispensaries, mm-hmm. it doesn't explicitly allow them, like in the case of California. They're technically patient cooperatives. In Washington State, they're collective gardens. And yet in other states, they're run by caregivers. And we're afraid that they might take a narrower interpretation of the law.
Right, which would be obviously a huge problem. It's interesting you pointed out, because it's not a one-size-fits-all. So that's part of the problem. That's part of the deal when you're talking about this, right?
Absolutely. So we're in, like, a lot of people think we're on very, actually more shaky ground than we were before. And it also doesn't cover non-appropriated funds, like forfeiture money. $500 million is going to be given out to the states here at the first part of the year. What are they going to do with it? Also, what about the IRS? Right? There's still mm-hmm. part of the federal crackdown on medical marijuana. There's a lot of unanswered questions here that we need to get answered. And this bill doesn't go far enough. We need just outright legalization.
Yeah.
Because,
And you say we need legalization, so give us your three bullet points on that, because you know there's pushback to this. Other people say, oh, it's a gateway drug, and you'll have arguments on all sides of this.
I've always contended that the gateway drug is alcohol, the parents' liquor cabinet at home, but that's probably another argument for a different day. In regards to federal taxation, it's illegal for banks. Well, first of all, the IRS does not allow deductions for medical marijuana dispensaries or medical marijuana businesses.
Right.
I personally talked to a lot of dispensary owners, and they're still running a cash business underground, and that's harming the states from collecting the revenue that they deserve. And so, in other words, if you have a dispensary and it does $1 million, you have to pay taxes on as if you made a $1 million. You're not allowed to take any deductions at all. So that has to change. And banking laws, it's still illegal for banks to do business with legal medical marijuana businesses. We have a long way to go still. I wish the government would move and be more clear on exactly these points.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, the cash business thing, we've had some people on that have dispensaries, and they talk about how, you know, they've got to be careful, obviously, because there's people that case their place, moving money around from the safes and everything else that has to happen because of the fact that they can't run it through the banks. And that's created a lot of problems, I know, in Colorado and in Washington State, too. They've had some problems with that as well. So really good point. I think what it is we have to decide, Michael, where we are on marijuana as a country, as a nation.
Sure. There is a bill. It's called H.R. 689, and it specifically wants to remove marijuana from, it says, at least a Schedule 1 or 2. And funny enough, Marinol, which is the synthetic version of a THC, is a Schedule 3. So H.R. 689 moves that down. So that would be an important bill to get passed. But we need more clarity, a lot more clarity, because it's not everything is cracked up to be. We just need
the politicians do the right thing and step up to the table. The genie's never going back in the bottle, ever. So the sooner we deal with it, the better. And I'll tell you, the feds are getting ready to tax it. And I know that because they put a tender out for 12 acres of marijuana to be grown outdoors, 1,000 square feet indoors. And specifically in the tender, they want to know about different strains and the amount of THC and cannabidiols. Now, why? Because they're going to use the exact same model that they know, which is alcohol. The higher the alcohol content, the more taxation. So how long is that study going to take? Maybe another 2-3 years. I would guess that the federal government will jump in and start taxing it and make it a legal business.
Yeah, I agree with you because they're seeing some of the revenue that's pouring in, like in Colorado, for example, and that's become kind of the model, even though there's some problems with it, for even the government, et cetera, the feds to look at that. Hey, I know you're doing something really terrific this Christmas. You're trying to feed 5,000 needy families. Tell people about that and what got that started and how people can help.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's really cool. I'm glad you mentioned that. It's called Holiday Heroes, and I started because 2 years ago, our company wanted to donate money, you know, be a good, you know, corporate responsibility and help the community. And I was told there's no charities like this at all in all Bulgaria. Like, are you joking? They said, no, there's none. And people don't trust charities here because they take and they steal the money, they put it in their pocket. And I said, well, we're going to start a charity. They looked at me like I was just mad. So from the time we decided to start it to the time, the first year, we fed 1,000 families. This year, we actually fed 4,120 families, which is about 20,000 people all over Bulgaria. And I'm quite proud of what we've done here. We did something to this country that they thought couldn't be done, and it brought belief back to the people, and it's really cool seeing what a difference it's made, because you have to understand they had a communist mindset for 50 years they're ruled by communism, with another 25 years of, you know, pretty lousy government with the same mindset. So 75 years. So yeah, it's a very good thing. And it's called Holiday Heroes, and you can go to holidayheroes.eg/donate. If you want to go to the donate page and make a difference, that would be really, really good, because there's 25% of the population is way, way, way below the poverty line. The average Bulgarian makes about equivalent of $300 to $400 US per month. That's it.
Wow, $300 to $400. And, you know, and seeing that they don't get much government help, obviously, do they?
None. There's no social programs. There's no welfare. They have really very poor medical here. They need a lot of help here, actually. And it's the poorest EU country right now. And the strange thing was, before World War II, it was the third wealthiest country in Europe and one of the major banking centers.
Wow, and look how quickly that, just goes to show you what can happen. It just flipped like that. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Well, you sound like you know what you're doing there in Bulgaria. Michael, thanks so much. Big Mike, help him out. Go check it out. Help those families for sure. AdvancedNutrients.com. Also, you can go to that website. Happy, merry, and all that kind of stuff in between. Thanks for joining us on America Tonight.
Thanks a lot, Kate. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.